Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 37. Second Kings 4, verse 8. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. She said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." One day he came there and turned in to the upper chamber and rested. Then he said to Gehazi his servant, "Call this Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. He said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?' And she answered, 'I live among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Truly she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, 'At this season next year you will embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant.' The woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return.' He said, 'Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' And she said, 'It will be well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi his servant, 'Behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." When she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand. Go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the lad's face." The mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And he arose and followed her. Then Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, "The lad has not wakened." When Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him. And the lad sneezed 7 times, and the lad opened his eyes. He called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Take up your son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for just your presence, being here with us. Thank you, God, that you're so good and that you are always drawing us closer to you, God. So we just come before you this morning. We want to hear from you. We want to meet with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This story of Elisha, you might be familiar with, goes to this woman and she takes him in. And so every time he passes through, she is the person that he visits and she lets him stay. And she's been a very good woman to him. So he wants to do something for her, realizes she doesn't have a kid and she's already quite aged. So he just prays for her. He makes a prophetic declaration and says, you're going to have a kid by this season next year. And she is a little bit worried. She's like, don't put my hopes up. Don't deceive me. You know, she's a little bit afraid to put her hope in this prophetic declaration. So she says no, but it happens anyway. But the child grows up. We don't know how old he was, but old enough to speak and, you know, says that his head is hurting and he dies. And then we see the woman really reach out to Elisha, and Elisha comes in to pray to God and to really do something to raise him back to life. So this morning, I just want to talk to us about the way this woman, the way that this woman desperately cried out for Elisha to come and do something. And so I want to talk about this desperation. And I think sometimes there are seasons in our lives where God calls us to be desperate, to seek after him with a little bit of desperation, to not just take it so easy, not to have this attitude of, que sera, sera. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, it's okay. And just kind of be chilled and be passive in our life. But there are seasons and times when God calls us to be desperate and to seek after him and to cry out to him and to pursue him with this kind of tenacity. And I'm reminded of Hannah. Hannah in the scriptures when she goes to the temple and she desperately cries out for her boy Samuel. This, of course, before Samuel is born. But there is a desperation inside of Hannah that makes her fast. You know, she's not satisfied with the double portion that her husband gives her. So she fasts and she prays and she cries out to the Lord. And like a crazy woman, she's at the temple praying. Her lips are moving, but nothing, no sound is heard. Eli thinks she's drunk, but there is a desperation inside of her. And I believe, even though in the story, Hannah doesn't even realize, she may have thought that this was just her desire for a son. She just wants a son. She just wants, you know, the other wife is tormenting her and calling her name. So she really is bothered and she wants her son. But her desperation, I believe, was something that God put inside of her. Because if you look at the time of when this story happened, Israel was in real need for a prophetic figure. You know, Israel was in need for a godly leader that could bring them out of this situation. It says there were very little visions, that God was not speaking very much at this time, because even the priest, Eli, didn't have discernment. You can see he really didn't, he really wasn't the kind of leader that Israel needed to bring them out of this situation. So I believe her desperation, even though she may have thought she just wanted a son, it had come from God. And I know that for me, sometimes God puts these dissatisfaction in my life. Maybe there's a longing in me. You know, some of you know I just fasted. And, you know, I fasted because I felt like God wanted to kind of, he wanted me to grow in leadership, in authority, in anointing. God puts dissatisfaction in my heart for my youth group students, my youth ministry, and says, you got to pray for them. And I really feel that kind of draw sometimes from God to say, you need to pray, like pray desperately. And sometimes, you know, like this past fast, I was praying for evangelism, and I feel like God's kind of put that in my heart. And my question to us, to myself, and then to you, because I know God's put those things in your heart too. Like when you fast and pray, when you go before the Lord, there are things that God sometimes puts in your heart. And so what if these longings and these dissatisfactions and desperations in your heart were desperations of destiny? Just like it was for Hannah. Hannah felt that desperation and that draw, that desire for a son, and she prayed. But really, it was something that God had put inside of her because there was a need, or there, it was a moment of destiny. If she hadn't prayed like that, Samuel wouldn't have been born, and the leader that Israel needed wouldn't have come out of that situation. So what if these things that God puts in our hearts, they are desperations of destiny, and yet we're just ignoring them because we're not willing to kind of go through this to pay the price, right? Paul says in his letters about praying for his church, he says, I'm laboring for you, right? He says, you don't know how much I labor for you in prayer, how much this person has labored for you. And he talks about intercession and prayer as a laboring. And we know, you know, right? Sometimes coming out to pray in the morning, fasting, definitely, it's a labor, right? It's difficult. It doesn't come easy. And I think sometimes, and I'm preaching to myself, but I think it hopefully will speak to all of us, that we are too easily satisfied when it comes to praying and seeking after God and kind of laboring for the things that God might be putting on our heart. So, you know, this morning I want to ask us, what are some things that God has put on your heart to pray for and to seek God for? And so from the story of this woman, I just want to point out three things. I always like to do three things. I don't know why, but I want to point out three things that this lady, Shunammite woman, was able to overcome because of her desperation. The obstacles of prayer that she was able to overcome because of her desperation, and she wasn't willing to just be easily satisfied. So first thing is, number one, it's distraction. Distraction. If you turn to verse 24 to 26, then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace unless I tell you. And she gets to the mountain, Mount Carmel, where the man of God is, and he sends the servant, and the servant comes to her and says, is everything okay? Is it well with you, your husband, and your son? And she just says, everything is well. And so, I guess the insight that I get from there is, she says, drive forward, don't slow down. Don't be distracted by anything. And the servant comes, but she is after the man of God. She is going after what she believes is going to bring about this miracle that she needs. So even when the servant comes, and it seems like a godly thing, she just ignores him. She's like, yeah, it is well. Don't bother me. Don't make me slow down my pace. I'm going to go after the man of God because that's what I'm after. And I want to say to us, you know, how often am I distracted in my prayer? Or I should say, how often do I give myself to distraction? Right? Because distractions are everywhere. But if I really wanted, if I tried hard, I mean, I would be able to say, you know, don't bother me. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to watch this thing. I don't want to get into this. I want to drive forward and go after God. But I so easily just give myself to all these distractions. And we know that our generation, there's so many distractions, right? I mean, we just turn on the phone and there's hundreds of things we could do on the phone that will very easily satisfy us, right? It kind of, it's fun. They say information is addictive, right? Like every new email you get, every new insight, there's something, the chemical reaction that releases something, and it's like an addiction. And so I know that for myself. I mean, I'm sure we've all been there, but if I'm on YouTube, let's say I'm on YouTube for a legitimate reason, I want to look up a sermon or whatever, but then YouTube will lead me down the rabbit hole, right? And then I will spend, the next thing I know, I've been on YouTube for 2 hours, and I've seen like all kinds of videos, and it's led me to some weird, obscure Russian mob, right, fighting and doing this crazy thing. I mean, all these things. But it's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy, especially now in our generation with the internet, with the phone. But this lady, she says, don't slow down. Don't just go straight to the man of God. Even when the servant comes, don't talk to me. I'm not here to talk to you. I'm not here to chit-chat with you about how I'm doing with my life. I'm after the man of God. So she overcomes distraction. And I know, for myself, I know that I don't stay desperate. You know, like I might begin with something, I feel like God's put something in me, and I'll pray, but then I have an inkling that I must pray, but it's so easy for me to give myself to all this distraction that it hinders me from really going after God. So I want to challenge us. Let's not do that. Let's stay desperate and let our desperation help us overcome all these distractions that we're so easily given to. Second is discouragement. Verse 27. Discouragement. When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her. Discouragement. So here, she comes, she finally gets to the man of God. She's had a long journey, not distracted by anything. She overcame distraction. And she gets to the man of God and takes hold of his feet. But the servant comes to push her away, right? Because he's the man of God. Maybe she wasn't supposed to do that. But the man of God says, leave her alone. But that discouragement, that didn't stop her. The servant pushing her away didn't stop her from going after the man of God and saying, no, I need you. You got to do something in this situation. I need you to come and do something. And she grabs hold of his feet. Even with the pushing away of the servant, she grabs on. And I want to say, sometimes we get discouraged. How easily do I get discouraged in my prayer and I don't stay in my prayer? Sometimes the discouragement comes from my lack of ability to pray. You know, I'll pray and I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray and I'll do it for a few days and then I'll miss a few days and then I fall asleep in my prayers and then I just go, whatever. Like, I just get discouraged about my prayer life. I feel like it's not strong enough or something. And then I just, instead of going after it even more, instead of getting more desperate and saying, no, something's got to change, I just say, it's too difficult, right? This discouragement just, instead of having that fighting spirit, I just tend to give up and say, oh, yeah, I've tried. You know, I tried that. You know, I tried fasting. I tried praying for this thing, but it wasn't easy. You know, nothing really happened. I didn't really feel anything. I didn't see a change. And I just, you know, we just get discouraged. And also sometimes we get discouraged kind of by not seeing anything happen, you know. So instead of tarrying in my prayer, instead of staying in my prayer, I just say, oh, like I prayed for a few days, nothing happened, forget it. You know, and we, again, our generation, we're an instant generation, right? Everything we do is instant. We want instant results. We hate waiting for anything, and instant food and, you know, transportation, we want it to be instant. If there's any delays, we complain. Even this morning, we took a taxi, and because of Occupy Central, I'm not saying anything political, but I'm just saying it's a little inconvenient because our taxis are a lot slower these days. There's always a traffic that hits us, and I'm like, you know, we get a little frustrated. We're like, what the heck? It used to take us, I don't know, 7 minutes. Now it takes us 12 minutes, and we're like, this sucks, you know? Instant, we want instant gratification, instant results in our prayers. And I tell my kids all the time, I say, it's not that prayer doesn't work, but it's that prayer sometimes takes a long time. Prayer, it's not that if you pray and it doesn't happen, it's not that your prayers didn't work or prayers don't work or don't matter, but it's that sometimes prayers take a long time, and that's what we see in the scriptures. Sometimes it takes years before God fulfills a promise. Right? God gives a promise, and then it takes years of praying and praying and praying and asking and waiting, and then the answer comes. And we know in with Elisha, even, you know, with the story of Naaman that comes right in the next chapter, he has to go wash himself 7 times. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just a two-time thing. It's not even 3 or 4 times. He has to do it 7 times, and then the leprosy is healed. But some, I mean, how I think we get discouraged with our 3rd and 4th time, with our 5th time, and we say, what is this thing? You know, God, I thought you said you were going to move. I thought P. Sam said if we pray, it's going to be dynamite and something's going to happen, but I don't see anything. You know, I'm fasting and I'm praying, but I don't see anything. And we just, you know, I don't feel anything. I don't see angels. And so we get discouraged and we say, you know, I'm just going to give up. And so I want to say, but you know, I mean, this lady, she was desperate enough to say, even though the servant is pushing me away and I know this isn't the right thing to do, I'm just going to go for it. And she was desperate enough to stay in the pursuit of the man of God, even though she was discouraged from doing so. So number one, she overcame distraction. She stayed focused. Number two, she overcame discouragement. And the last one, number three, she overcame disappointment. Disappointment. And I want to turn to verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him, and if anyone salutes you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the lad's face." The mother of the lad said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." And he arose and followed her. What I mean by disappointment here is this isn't the answer she was looking for. She comes to the man of God, she lays a hold of his feet, and he listens to her. And the man of God says to the servant, "Here, take my staff and go. Don't be distracted. Go and lay the staff on the boy's face." But for her, that's not what she was looking for. She didn't come here all the way so that the man of God could send his servant with her. So she says, "No, as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave you unless you come with me." And then he says, "Okay, I'll go with you." It says, so, because she says that, therefore, the man says, "I will go with you." If she had said, "Ah, fine," maybe the servant would have gone, the man of God would have stayed, and nothing would have happened. Right? But she says, "Heck no, I'm not leaving you until you come with me." And so, there's a disappointment. It's not the answer that she was looking for, but she doesn't settle for that answer. And how easily do I settle for an answer that's not what I hoped for, but I'm too spiritual to say to God, "God, that's not what you said." I'm too spiritual to say to God and say, "What the heck? Like, that's not what you promised." I just say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." You know, I don't know. Sometimes there's something about being a Christian. We feel like we just have to accept it and be thankful for what we've been given, which is true. But sometimes I think we spiritualize it too much. Psalms, the book of Psalms, is a very good reminder for us to be real with God. The writers of Psalms did not spiritualize their disappointments with God, their complaints, their doubts, and their questions. They didn't sit there and go, I'm going through all of this, but God, I thank you anyway. You know, you're faithful and you're true. There was a bit of that, but a lot of the Psalms, they're very, very honest and direct and real with God. They reacted and responded to situations in a concrete and real way instead of spiritualizing it, instead of trying to say, oh, this and this happened and it sucks, but we know that everything happens for our good, and so I'm just going to trust you. Not saying that that's bad. I mean, we need to have that attitude as well, but sometimes I think we just settle for a lack of an answer too easily. I've heard in my studies, I've been studying the Psalms with my school, and I've heard it said that, you know, Psalms is a very Jewish writing, right? Originally, it was the Israelites that wrote this psalm, and I've heard it said that Jews say about Christians that we are too quick to accept an answer from God. And they say, you need to question God more. You need to argue with God more. You need to you can't settle too easily for an answer. You know, the name Israel means to wrestle with God, right? Their very name is they wrestled with God and they prevailed. And so there is something inside of them that demands God to move, that demands God to do something in a concrete way, not just in this spiritual way of, oh, nothing is happening that we really want. You know, no, there's no deliverance, there's no breakthrough, but I'm just going to, you know, say that you're good anyway. They're very real and say, God, you said you are good. We know that you're good. We trust that you are faithful, but nothing is happening. Where are you? What are you doing? Like, why aren't you moving in this situation? And so, in our disappointment, in our prayers, I want to say, let's not just settle too easily with a disappointing answer, with a disappointing outcome, and just say, God's God, and kind of have this fatalistic attitude, right? But say, like this woman says, no, I'm not going to leave you until you do something. I'm not going to stop praying until you do something. I'm not going to give up until I am satisfied, until you do something and I know that you're moving. And so I just want to encourage us with that. Let's be a little more desperate. I know that God's speaking to me about this. To be a little bit more desperate, to not settle down, not to settle so easily. In my prayers, not to be so easily satisfied. And I don't know if God's speaking to you about anything and God's put anything on your heart to pray about, to pray for, but I want to say, let's get a little bit more desperate. I hope that the story of this woman would be an example for us, something that we can look to and say, yeah, help us to pray like this woman. So let's just go before the Lord. Sarah's going to lead us in a song. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning. I just pray that you will speak to our hearts, God. If there are things, Lord, that you have, put on our hearts to pray about, that you have, it's like you've given us an assignment to really pray for this thing and to really go after you with this thing and to become desperate. But Lord, if we have become a little bit too relaxed, God, in our prayer life, a little bit too too easily satisfied maybe, or if there's any of that in our hearts, God, I just pray that you will convict us. God, I don't think it's for everybody, but Lord, if God, you have put this, if you've put something in our hearts to really pray for and we're not obeying, I pray that you would just convict our hearts, God, and speak to us, Lord. And if there is something that you are trying to speak to us about, but we're not even listening, you know, I pray that, Holy Spirit, we just want to open our hearts to you now and just ask you to come in and speak again and help us to respond to you, respond to the call to prayer like this Shunammite woman with a desperation, God, in our hearts that overcomes the obstacles to prayer. And we're about to start our fasting season again in just a few months, God. I pray that you would even now start downloading things, God, into our hearts, God, that you're calling us to pray for, you're calling us to contend for. So yeah, we come before you and we just want to come in with open heart, God, open ears to hear from you. Thank you, Lord. Let's go before God in a prayer for our community. Let's pray first for those in our community going through cancer or chemo or recovering from surgery. Praise God, the last person, Carolyn, she has been released from the hospital. So she is doing okay and she's recovering well, but let's pray for full healing, full recovery for her. She's resting at home. Yeah, let's pray with desperation for our friends here that God will move and bring healing to our friends. Let's pray for the people on this list. Go to the second slide. Pray for those that need salvation as well as healing. Let's really pray and intercede for our friends and stand in the gap for them, that God will have mercy on them, reveal Himself to them. So let's pray together. Friends that are looking for a job, let's pray for provision and favor and encouragement from God in this time. So let's pray for our friends. Let's go to Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the situation, Occupy Hong Kong. Let's pray for God's just protection over this land. Let's pray for our leaders, leaders in the government, leaders with the Occupy movement. Let's pray for peace, and let's pray for resolution, and let's just pray for godly decisions to be made, you know, in this situation. Let's pray, you know, regarding the wealth gap, the poverty here in Hong Kong. Let's pray that there will be social justice here in this land. Let's pray for the churches to really rise up, to really to be a blessing to the city. Let's pray for the different ministries, YWAM and Face to Face and Feed the Hungry and Christian Solidarity, and yeah. So let's pray for this city. Let's pray for this land. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray for the mission committee. Let's pray that they will be able to really hear from God in making decisions about how our mission fund will be used and which mission trips to support and run. And pray that God will bless their personal lives, that they'll have so much favor and blessing in everything they put their hands to. And God will speak to them and draw closer to them, that they will serve the mission committee and serve the church out of an overflow in their hearts. Let's pray for our mission committee. Pray for the local outreach team. Pray for all the different ministries. Pray for Janella and Tim as they lead local outreach here at church. Pray for every person that serves in this ministry, that they will not be too tired, they will not be too weary, but that it will be such a joy and an overflow. And I know many new people have signed up since the Poverty Sunday, so let's pray that they will be able to keep their commitment and desire to serve. And let's pray that it will make a real difference for those that we reach out to. Let's pray for our outreach. Friday evening activities tonight. Pray for intercessory prayer. Are you guys going to the retreat? They're going on a retreat this weekend, so let's pray for them. Pray for SPU meeting tonight. GIC is canceled because Pastor Ricky is not available tonight. So let's pray for IP retreat and SPU. And let's also pray for the house churches meeting tonight, McCain and Discovery Bay. Let's pray for those things and I'll close us. Thank you, Father. God, lead us in our prayer. God, Lord, draw us closer to you. And I pray that you put a desperation in our hearts, God, for the things that you're calling us to pray about. Lord, I pray that we will not be so easily satisfied, but Lord, that you would put that deep calling, God, that deep desperation, Lord, and that perseverance, God, and tenacity, God, to seek after you, Lord. So lead us in our prayer life, God, and we give that over to you. Help us to inconvenience ourselves a little bit, God. Lord, for the things that will really matter, you know, for eternity. So God, if there are those things that you're calling us to, I pray that we'll hear you and answer your call. Be with all of us here, I pray, as we go off to our workplaces. God, help us to really live this day, God, to the fullest, God, to live this day for you, Lord, and to be, I pray for favor, God, in everything that we put our hands to, God. And I pray for confidence for many of our members, God, throughout the day to be able to make decisions, God, and to work well, God, and to be successful, Lord, in all that they do. And I thank you that you are walking with us, God, this day, Lord. I thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your presence, God. Father, we love you, God, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Sorry we went a little long. Have a good prayer time and have a good day. We'll see you on Sunday.